Les colloques du Collège de France.
Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm Joseba Martinez. I'm at London Business School. This is joint work with Andrea and Filippo, who are at the Bank of Italy, and my colleague Paolo Surico. And so I'll join the praise and the thanks to the organizers for this wonderful conference and I think this much-needed group in the CPR. So bonne chance and merci beaucoup. All right. So the public origins of American innovation. And, you know, we live in crazy times, okay? So very volatile times, lots of drama in the world. And among the things that are happening, you know, these big cuts in public financing of innovation and particularly of science. So kind of, you know, famously in the US, but also in Europe and in the UK, we've seen very big announced or realized cuts, sometimes reallocations in public financing. Since the kind of theme of this conference is about how Europe is cooked, as the kids say, and you know what we can do to kind of get out of this bad situation, I'll add a little coda here, which is that it's a little bit hard to track what's actually announced versus what's happened. What it seems like in the US is these massive cuts were announced, but a lot of them haven't been implemented. Okay, so there's been kind of pushback from the Senate, from the House, to cuts to R&D, but where they look like they are happening is actually, for example, in the UK and in Europe. Okay, so kind of like a troubling setting, if you believe the results of the paper that I'm about to show you. So what are we interested in doing in this paper? Well, so thanks to the work of many of you here and many others, we have, you know, fantastic evidence on how innovation and funding affect kind of firm-level outcomes, but we have much less knowledge about the aggregate effects of innovation. And so precisely what we're trying to do here is to, you know, bring a macro perspective to this important question. Okay, so the kind of first order thing I'll show you, what is our estimate of that macroeconomic impact of innovation on TFP and GDP? We have, we think, a new way of thinking about this question, so I'll show you what we're doing. And more to the point, is it the case that the effects of innovation differ depending on the funding source of the innovation? Okay, so particularly in what we're going to be interested, we're going to be looking at federally funded innovation versus privately funded innovation. Okay, so do those transmit differently in the aggregate? And to understand, so the answer is yes, they do. I'll tell you more about that. But to understand that heterogeneity, to understand why the effects of publicly or privately funded innovation is different, we're going to be digging into some mechanisms. So I'm going to show you results which speak to which federal agencies do the funding, which research fields the innovation happen in, the organization type of the assignee, whether it's a university, a research institute, et cetera, whether aggregate outcomes differ depending on the kind of identity, funding source, et cetera, of the innovation. And so what are we doing specifically? So we think of this a little bit as bridging these two literatures. So I'll tell you exactly what we do. We're going to be constructing counts of patent filings, time series of patent filings across different categories. Okay, so we'll look at patent filings by funding source, that is to say a quarterly count of patents that were funded by, I don't know, NIH or the Department of Defense and so on. Quarterly counts of patent filings that are funded by, filed by startups, firms, other types of firms, et cetera. And we're going to use that variation in the time series dimension to understand these aggregate effects. Okay, so our contribution here is to show, to bridge to some extent the macro level studies that tell us, give us information about general equilibrium effects, and the micro level studies which help us understand these mechanisms in detail. Okay, so what are the what do we find? What are the results? So the first thing at the top there, that the aggregate impact of innovation on total factor productivity and on GDP differs substantially depending on the source of the funding for the innovation. So specifically, we're going to look at three big categories here. So all the way on the left there, government funded but privately owned. Those are going to be patents in which the ownership of the patent stays with some private actor. And by private here, we're going to mean anything that's not a federal government agency. So this could be a university that receives a grant and produces a patent. This could be a firm that receives a grant and produces a patent. Those types of the innovation of that type is going to have larger effects on TFP and GDP than what we call fully private innovation. Those would be patents that are both funded and owned by the private sector. And all the way there on the right, we see the smallest effects for what we call fully public innovation. So those would be innovations that are both funded and owned by the federal government. Okay, so you can think of that category all the way on the right that could be largely intramural research versus money that leaves the government and goes to other sources. Martin.
These results, are they marginal or average? Like if you were to add an extra dollar, should I think of them as this? So I'm worried we spend so little on government R&D. The reason that it's so productive because there's just huge misallocation. I mean, if we would spend as much on government R&D as on corporate R&D, the returns would actually be very, very low.
Yeah, so it's a great question. So the data, the regressions, you'll see the model, we're not going to be able to tease out marginal versus average effects. You can think of those as average effects. We are going to write down a model that can help us exactly discipline those margins. I would say that, for now, I'll say that we see evidence of both in the sense that it does look like some categories of government-funded innovation have effects that are larger than you might think purely because of kind of marginal versus average effect. That said, for instance, when we compare across agencies, we do see very different results. We do see very different effects across agencies. That, to me, has more of a flavor of, NIH does too little versus DoD does too much innovation or something. So it's a great question. Okay, so that's, it's not going to be here today, but we're going to be using a model to discipline exactly that question. Yeah. Okay. So that's the big fact. So government-funded innovation has larger, government but privately funded innovation has larger effect, the largest effect. What about federal agencies? So NIH and the NSF, we see those having larger effects on TFP. In the middle there, the Department of Energy and NASA, and all the way at the bottom, Department of Defense. And by innovator type, so research institutes and universities, those are going to be, that's going to be the category innovator for which we see the largest effects. Okay, so we didn't make this result up. Okay, it just happens that the work people in universities and research institutes do look very important for TFP. Okay, and we're going to say a little bit about why. And as regards the private sector, the result I'll show you today, innovation by startups looks more important than innovation by incumbents, at least when it comes to innovation by startups that has federal funding. Okay, so literature, so, yes, please.
R&D tax credit, fiscal support for R&D.
Okay, so excellent question.
Is that government-funded but privately owned?
Okay, so super important question. That's not going to be here. This is going to be really about grants. This is, thank you, John. So this is when the way a patent gets picked up in our data set as being federally funded, et cetera, is that in the patent itself or in some database that the government has, there's a declaration of interest that the government provided direct funding for this patent. So. Perhaps all R&D is government funded ultimately because of tax credits or whatever else. We're not going to take us down on that. What we're saying, what we're looking at here very specifically is going to be looking at patents that receive grants and where we can measure that receipt.
I guess the other, I've said this before, but to the extent that a lot of public stuff isn't patented.
Yes.
I mean, DoD might be a thing there as well. You might worry that you're picking up all the relevant stuff because you're using patents
as a way of prison to reach. So absolutely. Okay, so the way to, I mean, I'll get there, but the way to understand this paper is I'm going to show you some empirical results, which will look like what happens after a new idea pops up, but that idea is not, it's a special kind of idea. It's going to be something that's patentable. And absolutely, it's certainly the case that money that the government spends on innovation doesn't end up in patents. I mean, we just heard in Isabella's presentation that a lot of the money that some unnamed European corporation spends doesn't end up in patents. Okay, so knowledge takes different forms. This is going to be a statement about what specifically are the effects of patentable innovation dynamically. Now, is that an important restriction? I would say yes, right? We would love to have more dimensions of the ways in which innovation happens. We hope to get there and kind of follow up work, but hopefully these results stand on their own, not even focusing on this large category of innovation, but not all encompassing, I think are interesting. Yes, please.
Just a quick question on why the government funded the privately owned. Is it similar to a reaction we have with blended finance?
I am definitely not familiar with blended finance. Let me tell you what this is. This is, for instance, I'm a scientist in Collège de France. I get a grant from the French government to do research. When I file my patent says, oh, I got a grant from the French government. And that's what we're picking up here. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So you know, big literature. We think of this as, you know, and many of you have contributed, and there should be many more people here, I'm sure. So we're thinking here about the connection between fiscal policy and productivity. Okay, so there's going to be a dimension of this, which is about the government allocating resources. We're going to be saying the way the government allocates resources matters for TFP growth, not surprisingly. And that connects to the literature on technology shocks and macro. Okay, way back to the origins of classical macro, there's this idea of TFP shocks as moving the economy around. I guess we understand that that's not what's actually happening. This is a way to understand where technology shocks originate from. And somewhere, a place where technology shocks originate from, we're going to say, is that innovation has different effects depending on who paid for it.
Just to this one, so Arnaud Dier, right, has
yes.
More
yes.
Touching on that point.
Definitely.
Is it consistent?
Okay, so are there differences? Yes. So Arnaud's job market paper, which is a great paper you should all read after you read this one, that uses cross-sectional variation. The challenge Arnaud faces is that, you know, you want to look at two things that are moving around. You need two instruments. That's obviously difficult to do. And then having constructed those cross-sectional estimates, aggregate it up using a model to get the aggregate effect. Okay, so what we're doing here is going directly to the aggregate by using a time series variation. Is it consistent? So I'm not going to show you the results here, but I'll just preview that we think, based on our estimates and the exercise that Martin was asking about, that the return, the kind of IRR to publicly funded innovation, is somewhere in the neighborhood of twice the return, the IRR to private innovation, private R&D expenditure. That's roughly what Arnaud finds too. He says it's like 2 to 3 times the size. Yeah. Okay, great. So let me tell you what we do. So our main source here is the government patent register. That's something produced by researchers, not us. So very fortunately, they go back all the way back in time and classify patents according to whether they were funded by the government or not. And this extra category of whether they're public-private, meaning the assignee in the patent is a private sector, non-federal assignee, but the patent declares some government interest. We're going to add to that, you know, these kind of well-known databases that tell us information about patents. Okay, so our kind of the basis of our analysis, the kind of core of our analysis, is splitting patent filings into these three categories: fully public, fully private, and this kind of hybrid category, and looking at the dynamic effects of innovation in each of these categories. Okay, so the first thing to say is I guess there are some reasons ex ante for which we might think that government-funded innovation is special. For instance, that it's more basic in nature. Okay, so this is some data to say exactly that that's true. Okay, that government innovation, government-funded innovation, is more basic in nature, and we think that's an important part of why these types of patents have different effects on the aggregate. So what I'm showing here, this is a measure of proximity to science. So this is citations to science papers in patents. And this is the distribution by this metric of the universe of patents. So all the way at the bottom, those bars there show the share of patents in the universe that are government funded. Okay, so that's about 3% of all patents in the US are either funded and owned by the government or funded and owned by the government, owned by the private sector. And as you move up this bar chart, what you're seeing is higher moments of the distribution by proximity to science. Okay, so that is to say that once you get to the top, let's say 0.5% of patents by basicness, by proximity to science, about 20% of those are government funded. Okay, so government funded innovation is really disproportionately represented in the patents that are closest to science. We're gonna think of that as saying that government funded innovation is disproportionately basic. Okay, so with this data facts in hand, so let me just show you very quickly kind of a framework for how we're thinking about these data. This is how we're making sense of the impulse responses that we're going to find. Okay, so extremely simple model that you'll all be familiar with. So right at the top there, GDP is produced using some inputs, L, and let's call it knowledge, A, that's total factor productivity, and knowledge is going to be a function of these two separate stocks of knowledge here. SP, we're gonna call that knowledge from the private sector, and SF, we're gonna call that knowledge coming from the federal government. And what's the difference between SP and SF? Well, for one thing, they may have different effects on aggregate productivity. That's that XCP and XCF there at the top. Moving further down the line, these equations describe how ideas diffuse through the economy, private and federally funded ideas diffuse through the economy. And that's going to be a two-stage process. The second row, there, this raw idea stock, this DXT, that's going to be accounting process of Poisson arrival. The government or the private sector are going to be spending some flow of money, and occasionally these ideas are going to pop up, okay, with an arrival rate mu. And the experiment I'm going to show you in the data, we're going to think of as tracking the effects on TFP and on GDP of the arrival of one of these types of ideas. Okay, so a new idea pops up, we observe it when it comes, and then we observe the dynamic effects on TFP and GDP following the arrival of that idea. Okay, that's our contribution. This model in which ideas, raw ideas diffuse slowly into accessible ideas and accessible ideas diffuse slowly into TFP, this is going to be, as you'll see, a good description of the empirical implicit philosophy of
research. So there's no view there that the public part is more like basic research and...
Okay, excellent. So,
and then the private part would be more like, you know,
So that's true, okay? Government-funded innovation is more basic. And how does that show up in my model, or how do we think it's reasonable for that to show up in my model? This thing here, mu, this is the arrival rate of ideas. That's going to depend on how many resources the private sector or the federal government spends. And it's augmented by the stock of knowledge of government-funded and privately funded ideas. And these elasticities determine the effect. The way we're going to think about the data is that federally funded innovation has a higher elasticity here, kind of stimulates more ideas down the line. Why? Because it's more basic in nature.
You want to do that directly. I mean, if you think that's the hypothesis, why not go and measure basic R&D differentially for applied R&D?
So,
that's the direct way of doing that.
Okay, so, yes, so we can from the NSF, I guess, basic R&D. There's some issues with which I won't bore you with data sample, but that is something that we are exploring. I mean, the difficulty is, whereas I'm going to be able to say which patents are more basic, I don't know exactly if the basic R&D went to funding those patents, so there's a little bit of triangulation, but that's definitely something that we're interested in.
Could you use this way of measuring basic?
We could, yes. I don't know. Anyway, yes, but that, I think that's a good idea, and that's something we should take on board. Yes, please.
I don't know what to do with the blue and orange table that you showed in the graph.
Okay.
Assume that government spends $10 million.
Yes. Yes.
When the private sector spends $10 billion. In terms of size, it's not the case.
No, I would say, not in terms of size of spending, but in terms of patent generation, they are very different. 97% of patents are private, so your concern is that the scales are very different.
Yes,
I agree.
Spending by government versus spending by firms.
Yes, so all this chart says is, in the universe of patents, 3% are government funded, 20% are at the top of the distribution out of all patents in proximity to science. This is only saying that government-funded patents are disproportionately basic.
But that's maybe they spend as much money on science.
Yes.
As government. This fraction doesn't tell us anything. We need to have a sense of the spending by the different parties.
Okay, excellent. So it's also the case that the private sector proportionately spends a lot less money on basic science.
No,
so
on research.
No, on basic science.
No, I'm asking on research.
Ah. The scales are, in the early part of our sample, roughly the same. The private sector R&D and government funding R&D is similar. Yes, okay, excellent.
Only identify the basic patents?
So this is a measure by Marx and co-authors, which is citations of papers inside the patents, citations of academic papers inside the patents. So this is the frequency of citation. Exactly. We call it more proximate to science if the share of citations of academic patents is higher. That's how we define basicness. Yeah. Okay, and so why does basicness matter? Well, in this little model, we are going to say more basic or federally funded innovation has higher spillovers into private R&D, for instance.
Hello. The parameter in this table is fee, right? Are you going to tell us what fee is?
This fee here?
Yeah.
Well, read the Chad's papers. Okay, and it's -2 or something. Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Okay, so we can calibrate that thing and see how the data matches. I mean, look, in the end, we're going to think of this model as being semi-endogenous. That means this number is going to be negative. Yeah.
Sorry to do that, but you have 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, all right, great. So let me just show you the local projection that we estimate. So On the left-hand side here, we have GDP, TFP, and other outcomes. On the right-hand side, our key variable is going to be patent filings by category. Why filings? We were worried about anticipation effects. We want to observe this idea kind of when it pops up in the economy, and then trace with this local projection the effects dynamically. Okay, on the right-hand side, W, lots of controls for the current state of the economy, controls for the future state of the economy, stock market expectations, and so on, okay, to clean out that right-hand variable of confounding variation as much as possible. The main identification we show now in the paper is going to be via instrumental variables. We're going to use Fieldhouse and Mertens appropriation shocks. These are quasi-random variation in federal government appropriations to instrument public patents. And Miranda Agrippina and co-authors have a nice paper in which they do something that we can use, an instrument we can use for private patents. Okay, to show you the main result. So this is, at time zero, a new patent filing appears in government, private, 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 and government, government. And from time zero to quarter 40, this is the dynamic effect on GDP and on TFP. So in each of these panels, there's two lines. You can see that blue line, that's the direct OLS estimate. And the red line, that's the estimate using our instrumental variables. Okay, as you can see, especially in the long run, they're not terribly different. So in the rest of the paper, because we don't have instruments for everything, we're going to be using the OLS. We feel pretty good about that based on these results. Okay, so what do we see? So you can see the effects on TFP from government-funded patents are significantly larger than the effects of private innovation. This kind of intramural, this government-government innovation, on average, that has kind of no effects on TFP. Okay, so this is our main result, that for productivity, it looks like government-private funded innovation, that has the largest results, the largest effects on TFP. In terms of mechanism, you can see that this is private R&D and investment. This was a question about how basicness might matter for the effect of innovation. You can see that the response of R&D, of private R&D, is also significantly larger in response to a government-private innovation relative to a private-private innovation, and that's also going to be true of fixed investment. Okay, so it looks like this government-funded innovation is crowding in more private sector activity, crowding in more investment, and that's part of the mechanism for why it has higher effects on GDP and on TFP. Okay, so in terms of, this shows kind of conditional on a shock or conditional on arrival of an idea, what's the evolution? This next analysis tries to understand overall what fraction of variation on GDP and TFP do these sources of innovation explain? Okay, this is the variance decomposition. So at the top, that's going to be the variance decomposition of GDP. At the bottom, the variance composition of TFP. Okay, so what is this? This is the share of variation in TFP and GDP relative to trend. Okay, if you want medium frequency variation in these variables that are explained by government private funded innovation and privately funded innovation. Okay, and the answer is that for government private innovation, that looks to explain a really large share of GDP. Okay, so roughly 20% of fluctuations in GDP in our sample is explained by this government-private funded innovation. Of course, private innovation is explains a significant share. Private patentable innovation explains a significant share of fluctuations in GDP of TFP, but that is dwarfed by private innovation.
It would be interesting, I don't want to hijack the seminar, but it would be interesting to say, for example, DARPA, you see you start big things in kind of key areas.
Excellent.
And so, then, you know, that triggers a whole waves of secondary innovation that builds upon them.
Yes, excellent.
And who goes where, and how does it, because very much public, the source of public, you know, I always think of this Raphael Robb or Bolton Farren paper.
Yeah.
In big things, nobody wants to be the first. You see what because it's risky, high fixed cost, nobody wants to be the first. But once the government has stepped in or someone has stepped in, then you can have private coming in. Here, the way you model, it doesn't, you don't see that, or maybe you see, not an obvious manner. Have you looked into?
So this is kind of our best answer. Okay, so we get asked about DARPA a lot. We get asked about DARPA a lot because one finding we have, this is the same effect but by agency. Okay, so NIH and NSF are at the top, and you can see the Department of Defense is at the bottom. That's where DARPA sits, what gives. And the way we think about this connects to results that John showed earlier, in which Department of Defense is this conglomeration of DARPA, this kind of amazing super disruptive innovation, and lots of money that, I don't know, Lockheed Martin gets to make better bombs. Okay, so when you average those two things together, the effects of DoD on TFP look relatively muted. Okay, so I'm almost out of time, so I'll just show you these results here. This is a little bit an answer to Martin's question, is this like a marginal versus an average effect? So this is trying to look at innovation in the government private and private-private sector, but in some sense conditioning on the characteristics of the innovation. Okay, so this is splitting the universe of patents into the top 10 percentile of patents by proximity to science, by basicness, versus the bottom 90th percentile. And what we see is significant heterogeneity, that the effects on TFP and GDP of government-private more basic innovation are larger than for government-private less basic innovation. That's true to some extent of the private sector, but it's most striking when we look at the government-government sector, where you can see that this kind of zero average effect that I showed you earlier is a composition of basic innovation that looks like it has very big effects on GDP and on TFP, and less basic innovation, which looks like it has the opposite effect. Okay, it looks like I can keep going, which is great, so thank you. So this is to show you the split by innovator type. So this splits the same categories, government, private, and private, private, but now we're looking also at the identity of the innovator. Okay, so this is splitting the sample into patents that are granted to universities and research institutes versus all others. And so here you can see that when the government gives a grant to a research institute or university, those types of innovations have the largest effects on GDP and on TFP. Okay, we see that to some extent also for innovation that's privately funded but happens in research institutes and universities. Okay, and finally, startups versus established firms. So I like this picture. So, and again, this speaks a little bit to what John was showing as regards defense, in that when startups get government grants, the effects on TFP and GDP look very large. When established firms get government grants, the effects look much, much smaller. Okay, and that heterogeneity is there for government-funded innovation, but really not there for privately funded innovation. Yes?
When you compare government-private and private-private, the objective could still be to make money out of it. But government-government, it could be a different objective. And so if I can find a straight line on GDP, it could be that, you know, these are inherently different type of innovation. Maybe it's more to internalize an externality. Or is there something that maybe is not captured?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. Why does the government govern patent at all? The answer is historically, because over time, policymakers have thought, you know, we're spending money on science, the taxpayer should get a return. So at least in their heads, the policymakers were trying to patent for the same reason that the private sector tries to patent. So for that reason, I'll tell you how I interpret this. So this splits government governed innovation by agency. And you can see that the kind of big positive result for the government sector is driven by this green line here, and that's innovation that happens in NIH versus other agencies. So anecdotally, and this really is anecdotal because I happen to know someone whose wife used to work at NIH, okay? So anecdotally, researchers at NIH have this mission to just improve the world, and they work very hard and very seriously to produce patentable knowledge, and that's less true of other government agencies.
And if you use a different dependent variable, which is more connected instead of GDP?
Yes, so we could use life expectancy or something, yes. So that's something we're also considering.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.